Okay, folks, we're going to try this again. Sorry about the little bit of a rough start here. Combination of a few things today going on that probably had an effect on what we just did here in the last couple of minutes. But I'm going to go ahead and try and carry on with the show. Today I've got Billy Joyce with me, and of all the people, I do radio shows with, as I said. Billy's one of the guys I really like doing shows with because Billy's got heart, Billy's got courage, and that's something we're really lacking in our society right now. People that are really actually willing to stand up and tell it like it is. And Billy does lots of podcasts. I follow everything he does. Always a pleasure to have you on my show, Billy. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words, Barry. It's greatly appreciated. Sorry to hear you're having a rough day. I think everyone across this country, everyone across North America, is they're reaching a boiling point. And if something's not done to return life to at least semi-normality soon, I think we're going to see more damage done to society through this isolation and social distancing and being locked up than we will through the actual virus.
I'm like thousands of other Canadians now. Billy, I'm at a point where I've just had enough of this. And the good thing about that is that I am really now starting to see people ask questions. Unfortunately, there's still a large majority of the matrix, of the sheeple that are still stuck in the matrix that just, you know, it's hard for them to accept the fact that their government would actually do something detrimental, that their government would actually do something to work against what they've worked for all their lives. And that's exactly what's happening in our society right now. We're at a crossroads. And I'm sitting now watching society go into a state of fear that is really hard to explain, because if you really look what's going on with this virus, the numbers worldwide, it's comparison to other viruses that we've dealt with. It's comparison to the common flu. It's comparison to pneumonia, which of course develops in about 50% of adults over 60 years of age when they get the cold, and is probably one of the biggest killers in our society. But we're not quarantining people for pneumonia. We're not quarantining people for the flu. We're not quarantining people for the common cold. And yet these carry numbers that are actually higher than this coronavirus. This is blown right out of proportion, folks, and it is being used to destroy everything that you ever thought was precious in your life. Right now is being taken away from you under the guise of security, Billy. What do you think?
Well, yesterday I did a video on the propaganda ministry that was set up under the Nazis in Germany back in the day. And they talked about how in order to set that up, they eliminated all the other political parties. And then the Nazis were the only ones that had control over the media. And what we're looking at right now, on top of, you know, it possibly being overblown, I say, even if you give them the credit of the doubt and you claim that it's as dangerous as they say it is, they're participating. It's almost as though that there are two narratives out there, and one narrative is being pushed by the left and one narrative is being pushed by the right. And it's this whole question of hydroxychloroquine that Trump mentioned on March 21st in a tweet. So there's the question, is it really as bad as it is? And if it is as bad as they claim that it is, why is it that this hydroxychloroquine is only being used by a certain segment of the world's population? And why are officials lying? Like, why are officials lying or contradicting one another on these treatments? ABC News in Dallas, Texas, reported that a doctor there gave the option to 39 patients with COVID-19. They wanted to use hydroxychloroquine with zinc. And there's another drug, but I don't have the name of it at the tip of my tongue. All 39 recovered within 5 days. There's a doctor in New York, same thing. Forbes magazine reported that India was using it. Le Journal du Québec reported that New Brunswick had approved clinical trials. Hospitals in Montreal and Quebec are using it in clinical trials. And, I mean, I asked the chief medical officer today in Nova Scotia, and all he did basically was use the straw man defense. The straw man defense is attacking the weakest part of someone's argument. It's like the straw man, instead of attacking the iron man, you attack the straw man because it's the easiest one to attack. So I mentioned ABC. I mentioned entire countries using it. I mentioned provinces using it. I mentioned Forbes magazine. I mentioned Dr. Oz. And it's Dr. Oz that he came at me with, claiming, well, you can't believe everything you see on the internet. And I personally know a virologist that's working on this. And you should stop pushing these theories, because not everything you see on the internet is real.
Well, now, who's your virologist? Who's your source of information, buddy?
Right. Well, there's that, but arguing that you can't believe something because it's online, they were delivering this on their website. So should I believe it? It's online. Should I believe it? If the Chronicle Herald, or let's say, I don't know, CTV News puts an article on their website, does that mean I don't believe it because it's on the internet? So just because CNN didn't report on it, or CBC didn't report on it, well, Forbes magazine reported on it, and ABC8, WKAA, I believe, down in Dallas, Texas. I mean, it's a legitimate outlet. It would be like me going to the local radio station's website and then someone telling me, well, you can't believe that because it's online. Well, welcome to 2020. The internet is used. I mean, anyone with common sense knows that if I go to a website that's called xyz.ca and nobody uses their real name and nobody gives sources for their information, and yeah, you're going to dismiss that. But should I really dismiss Forbes magazine, or dismiss ABC News, or dismiss Rudy Giuliani's podcast? He's the guy that interviewed Dr. Zelenkov, who did 900 studies in New York. 899 recovered. The only one that didn't was the one that didn't follow the protocol he put forth.
Nothing to see there, Billy.
Nothing to see there.
You can't listen to that kind of stuff. This guy, Billy, I don't want to interrupt you, but folks, you got to, it'd almost be good to play that clip for a couple minutes and hear this guy's response, because he basically come out after Billy provided real hardcore facts. And now that's just the top of the iceberg right now, because I've been looking into this, and there is multiple reports about the effect of this on this virus right now. And this guy basically came back and called Billy a conspiracy nut, that everything that he just said that the audience should not pay any kind of attention to. It was absolutely ridiculous what he said to you, Billy. I'd almost like to hear people. Can we play that for 2 minutes, Billy, that one clip? I'd like people to hear this if you can.
I don't know if I can play it over my Skype. Maybe if I unplug my earphones and let it play through the speaker, you might be able to hear it, and I just won't speak. And we'll see if it creates feedback. If it doesn't create feedback, well, then I can play it.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind people hearing this, because what this is, folks, is just an example of what you're going to hear from just about any mainstream establishment representative right now that's speaking on behalf of the government. And I'm covering that with a broad blanket right now, but I think you'll hear the same thing. Go ahead, Billy, try it. Let's see what happens.
Okay, I'm going to try it here.
No, there's nothing coming through.
There's nothing coming through. Oh, well.
I wonder if Skype allows me to play anything in there, or maybe no. From your control booth on the other end.
If it popped up,
I would have to play the
video and played it from your control room.
I would have to play the video, yes.
Do you have a link to it?
No, I don't.
Can I drop that in Skype, I wonder?
You probably can.
Okay, why don't you do that? And if you can play it, that's great. If we can't play it, Billy, it's not that big a deal. But when I listened to it, it just resonated exactly what I would expect to hear from somebody that doesn't want people to know the truth. They really are going to try and cover this up, because it's really going to wreck their agenda and their narrative, Billy. If there's a known cure out there and the public is made aware of it, I mean, with this information we're sharing right now, should have people going, holy smokes, what's going on? How come CBC isn't telling us about this? They're supposed to be our media in Canada. This is big news. How come we're not hearing it?
And what's interesting is every other person that got a question during that press conference was allowed a follow-up question. And I'll come with my follow-up question after we hear the clip, because I think Steve's going to be able to play that. I sent them the YouTube link, and I sent them the start time, right. And I think we might be able to get this up. But I'll save the follow-up question for after, yes. Because it's pure common sense. And what I find is everything we're hearing on the news right now, everything we're hearing from Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland and Tam Tam and Hadou and the rest of them, is an insult to our intelligence. They think we're stupid. They think we're incapable of critical thought. They think we're incapable of picking up contradictions. They think we have a short memory and we forget how they were treating this back in December and January. And they think that we're just going to believe everything that they say because they're spoon feeding it to us. Mm. And I refuse. And it may get me in trouble. I have no idea, but I'm not the type of person to lay down. I'm not the type of person to deny the truth and push lies. And that stems from my beliefs. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says that Satan is the father of all lies. So for me to stand up for lies or to accept a lie to a perfectly legitimate question, I refuse. And how that's much? Why I refuse. And I would much prefer to answer to God than answer to men, because that's just the way I am.
The great deceiver he is. And boy, is he manifesting himself right now on this planet and running wild right now. But we knew that was coming. We know what's going to happen here in the next little while, Billy. We both follow the same doctrine. We know how it's laid out and what we expect to see in the near future here. And boy, I'll tell you, the old song by Johnny Cash there, it's going by the book. Well, it's never been more true in my life, because I'm watching things unfold that just astound me, but they don't, because I've kind of got a timeline for things that are going to happen in the world.
How much of this am I supposed to play? Right now.
Are you able to play it, Steve?
How much of this am I supposed to play?
From 38:22, you'll basically just play it. That's where I'm going to ask the question. And then you can let him answer, and then you'll see they're going to move on. They're going to say, okay, we're going to now move on. They're not going to give me a follow-up question. They're going to move on to someone else. And what's interesting in this is the moderator is someone I actually went to high school with.
Let's see if we can make this happen.
All right. I'd like to hear it again. Everybody has to mute, Barry and Billy.
Yep.
Okay.
Behind them on other wards to do what we've talked about earlier, is that greater separation between those who are positive and those who we don't know what their status is or have a negative test. So it's for those two main reasons that we're moving those residents out. That's the strong recommendation. We've looked at all the options. Do you move the people who are known positive? Do you move the ones who are negative that or we don't know about yet, or do you move the ones that have recovered? And consistently, the clinical advice is to move the people that we know have recovered for the reasons I've outlined, and then bring in the necessary supports to provide the necessary separation and the active treatment for everybody else within that facility.
Next, we'll go to to Billy Joyce from CITU Radio.
Hi, Dr. Strang and Premier McNeil. Thank you very much for the work you're doing. Recently, WFAA ABC 8 in Texas reported that 39 elderly Texans successfully completed voluntary treatment of hydroxychloroquine combined with zinc, and apparently all 39 were successful. Just to put a little context, Dr. Eric Nepety, the owner of Nepety Wellness Center in St. Louis, Missouri, is also promoting the use of hydroxychloroquine with zinc. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko in New York used a cocktail of hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin, and successfully treated 899 out of 900 patients with COVID-19. And the only negative outcome was the result of a patient not following the protocol. We've recently learned that New Brunswick has approved the clinical trial for this, as well as hospitals in Quebec. And Dr. Oz, the famous TV doctor, is also singing the praises of this drug combined with other drugs. Forbes magazine recently reported that India is also approving the drug to treat COVID-19. So this being said, and correct me if I'm wrong, why have we not heard of clinical trials of this drug in Nova Scotia, and why? And if the people dying have little to no chance of survival otherwise, aren't we at least using this as a last-ditch effort to save lives until the clinical trials are done?
So we do have one of my colleagues, Dr. Lisa Barrett, infectious disease physician, is leading a clinical trials as a Nova Scotia component of national work on a number of potential therapeutic options. We need to be very clear. Do not believe everything you read just because it's the Internet, and certainly do not believe Dr. Oz. There's a whole lot of mythology around this hydrofluorocarbon treatment that if you actually look at the evidence, it's not robust at all. Any use of that needs to be, or any medication that's purported to be a treatment for COVID-19 should only be used under rigorous clinical trial scenarios. And we have clinicians here in Nova Scotia who are part of, participating in those national clinical trials. Please do not keep pushing out your information that's based on one-offs from who knows what the credibility of these people is. We have to rely on credible clinical science and clinical evidence to drive us, and there's so much misinformation out there on.
Okay, Barry, that's the end of that one there. You want to come back on?
Okay. I understand you guys heard that. They're listening in today. So that was just an example of the hypocrisy we're seeing. Doesn't matter where you look in the world right now, that this agenda is the only agenda that we're going to be allowed to participate in. Anything else is conspiracy theories and lies. We see the Canadian government now going to bring forth legislation making it criminal to speak against COVID-19 outside of the government narrative. So this show right now would be classified as criminal if this new legislation goes through, Billy.
Yep.
But what else do we expect from a full-blown communist dictatorship that we now live in Canada?
And what's weird is everyone else was allowed the follow-up question, and my follow-up question was simply going to be, if I was on my deathbed and given the prognosis that I was going to die, would you allow me to sign a waiver so that I could use this experimental drug at my own risk? Would you allow Nova Scotians to do that? And I didn't get a chance to ask the question, so I don't know what the answer would be. Because if we actually live in a democracy where we have freedom, I should have ultimate control over what I have to do to either live or die. It should not be left to somebody else to decide, no, you can't try that drug because we don't approve it. You're going to die anyway, but you can't try that drug because Donald Trump said it was good and we can't allow that to happen.
Well, yeah, well, look at the people that are attacking Donald Trump, man. I mean, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Trump fan, but I like a lot of things that he's doing. I still maintain that to get the position that Donald Trump is right now, that there's some kind of a deal being made somewhere in the past where I just don't trust him 100%, but I like a lot of things he's done, Billy. That's what I'm gonna talk about that.
There's a video I saw today. It's a preacher down in the States, and he talked about a revival that happened in Europe back in the early 1900s that was led by two ladies that were pretty much crippled. And those two ladies that were pretty much crippled were the aunts of Donald Trump's mother. And they led a prayer revival down there, and there was a revival in their hometown. And then when Donald Trump's mother moved here, apparently she brought with her the Bible that the two aunts owned, and Donald Trump has that Bible in the Oval Office.
I watched
the video, and I was actually moved to tears. The preacher that was telling the story was moved to tears. And you have to remember that Trump spent his entire life alcohol-free, drug-free. And although he was around these monsters that traveled on Jeffrey Epstein's plane to Lolita, on the Lolita Express to the island, where we know nefarious things went on, Trump never went down there. And Trump, though he's been accused falsely so far, has never been accused of things like pedophilia or human trafficking or things of that nature. In fact, he's probably the most successful president when it comes to arresting and imprisoning these people.
This is my big question to Donald Trump. Okay. If you're truly speaking for the people and you're truly at heart working for the best of the United States of America, then 9/11, which I'm sure a man of your intelligence, after watching any of the information on 9/11, will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is the biggest lie ever told to the people of this world, and that these people that perpetrated these crimes on the human race are still walking the streets today, and they're not in jail. When he can say to me, I'm persecuting these guys, here's who did it, here's the players, let's get it out in the open, and let's heal this wound, which will never heal in society unless it is addressed. And where have we gone since 9/11? What kind of attacks on our freedom? How much freedom have we lost since 9/11? How much has our society changed, Billy? That's my one question to Donald Trump. If he'd give me an honest answer on that and explain to me why he hasn't brought these perpetrators forward, because there's no denying the information, Billy. Anybody will know it's a lie. So that's the question I have for him.
I can offer you an answer to that if you'd like to
entertain. I'd love to hear it, Billy. I really would.
Because I've had the exact same concern. Now, someone told me that Barack Obama, before he left office, actually issued a pardon to everyone in his government for anything they may have done in the past. Now, I've gone to look at it. It seems like that's a legitimate claim. I didn't know a president had the power to do that, but apparently he did. So what I'm hearing is this whole FISA abuse, Obama will be outed when that is dropped, is what I'm understanding. And when Obama is outed, apparently if a past president is found guilty of treason while he was president, any action that he took can be wiped clean. The slate can be wiped clean. Don't forget, they had a commission. We haven't heard about it because of COVID-19, but they had an inquiry on World Trade Center 7, and that inquiry literally found out, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that they determined there's no way that building fell by fire. So I now saw that you saw that report.
I saw that. I'm following that very closely. I follow 9/11 Architects of Truth and Richard Gage and all his posts and the other organizations that are still trying to bring the truth forward. Eventually, Billy, it is going to come out, and I hope it does, because society will never be the same until it does.
When you look at who President Trump's personal lawyer is, it's Rudy Giuliani, who was the quote-unquote mayor of New York. And one should wonder, like, did he take a deal? Is he going to blow the whistle eventually on all these people? But first, they're going to expose their crimes when it comes to FISA abuse and treason on the country. And then once people find out they were guilty of treason and guilty of spying on a duly elected president and a presidential candidate, they're probably going to swallow the next pill a little easier. I think 9/11, Benghazi, I mean, we've already found out about the Gulf of Tonkin. We know that was a false flag operation. We may even find out someday that Pearl Harbor was avoidable. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the assassination of JFK. I firmly believe George Bush Sr. was involved in that one. And then you look at George Magazine that JFK Jr. was the publisher of back in the day. I don't know if you saw recent articles where he once said in that magazine that he was going to find out who killed his father, even if it meant taking down the entire U.S. government. And JFK Jr. and Donald Trump were very good friends. Okay. So sometimes it makes me wonder if Donald Trump wasn't handpicked to do what he's doing because he was the only guy that had the backbone and the testicular fortitude to pull off what he's pulling off. Because from what I understand, he and his family have avoided seven to eight assassination attempts so far. But again, these are unconfirmed sources. But when you look at what's going on in the real world, I mean, this guy was on Twitter the other day saying, liberate Virginia, liberate Michigan, liberate Minnesota. I mean, he's being accused of causing upheaval in some of the states. He's being accused of inciting revolution. Yeah.
Billy, I'll continue to sit kind of on the outside and watch what's going on, okay, with interest. I'll put it to that way. There's a lot of questions I have and a lot of questions I can't answer. Pearl Harbor, man, I looked into Pearl Harbor quite a bit. I spent a bit of time really looking into it. And you know that when that happened, of course, December the 6th at 7 o'clock in the morning, the day before the attack, mysteriously all three main carriers left Pearl Harbor for an unscheduled operation 400 miles north of Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
Just by coincidence, they took the carriers out of Pearl Harbor. That was the main objective of the attack on Pearl Harbor, was to take out the carriers, because at that point in history, people came to the realization that battleships were obsolete, that air power was the determining factor, that if they'd taken out all three main American carriers, the Americans would have won the war, but it would have taken them a year more than what would have took them. Unless they developed a nuke a little faster, and of course we know where that went. But that's what happened in Pearl Harbor. So tell me that's another coincidence. Well, that's just a million coincidences that we seem to have when we talk about anything that the government has their fingers into, Billy.
Well, Barry,
just a point I wanted to make about that, because I've studied it.
You know how I've spoken before about QAnon and this whole Q phenomena and the Anons digging up information? I mean, these guys have even gone back to presenting pretty compelling evidence that the sinking of the Titanic might have even been some sort of false flag operation, like partly true, partly false. It had to do with the banking system. There are people that died on the Titanic that were opposed to the Federal Reserve. And I, like, I've seen the digs on this. I've seen the information that these anons have dug up. It's all open source information. But the thing is, it's all over the place. But when you put it all together and you kind of look at it, you're like, ah, that's a pretty compelling argument they make there. So if they're able to pull off stuff like that, it makes you wonder what kind of control they have over us. You know, like this doctor today, there's already articles. I've already received two or three personal messages from people saying, oh, look, Halifax Today wrote an article. Dr. Strang shuts down Dr. Oz and conspiracy theories. Mm. You know, that I bet you they get the follow-up question tomorrow.
Well, of course. It's part of the party, Billy.
You know, and then another guy put up a meme already. It's a boxer that knocked out another boxer. And the boxer laying on the mat is Dr. Oz. And the doctor standing up is Dr. Strang. You know, and people take great pride in that. They're patriotic. Look, this is our doctor. This is our doctor. Instead of looking at it as the government just handed out $27 million to various doctors across Canada. Like, I was reading a National Post article where they were, quote-unquote, debunking the idea that the Chinese lab in Wuhan may have let the virus escape. And the National Post quoted two scientists who Dr. Strang would refer to as the peer-reviewed, the real scientific community. But when you actually go do a dig, you find out that the two doctors that the National Post interviewed, one of them received a grant for $999,000, and the other one received a grant for $1 million to study to study COVID-19.
Oh, you know? Coincidence again, Billy. Another coincidence.
Right. You know, so it's like, oh, okay. And I mean, this is all documented. It's right there out in the public. I mean, the Rebel News pointed me to that article. It was so funny how it happened. The Rebel News pointed out that a university in, I believe it was either Alberta or Saskatchewan, had received $830,000. And one of their partners is the Wuhan Virology Lab in Wuhan. You know, so we just gave $830,000 to a university in Alberta that's going to use part of that money to go work in collaboration with the lab that's being accused of releasing the virus.
So there's a couple direct connection to that lab inside the Canadian government. I mean, there's so much. If people start looking into this, Billy, and they can't see this, then they really truly have got an IQ of about 10. Because it doesn't take a lot. Like, I mean, you know, people don't have to be intelligent to look at this and just look at a few things that we're talking about and go, wow, something is really messed up in Denmark here. You know?
Well, we're spoon feeding it to them. I did it in my video last night that I did on YouTube, and I literally popped up the government website. I taught people how to use Control F. If you go on a website, so when I popped this open to see if what the Rebel News is reporting was true. Right after I did that, I read this National Post article that was supposedly debunking the fact that China had released this virus. And when I was reading the article, it said, oh, we spoke to this doctor from Dalhousie University. So just for fun, I went into the government list of all the people that had received funding, and I typed in the last name, a Dr. Kendall at Dalhousie University. Sure enough, the doctor that National Post was interviewing had just received over $900,000 to do a study on COVID-19. And then you keep reading through it, and the next doctor that they quote, same thing, a grant for $1 million. So you're like, okay, so the government's giving you guys grants. The government's pushing the World Health Organization and China's talking points. And then you're turning around and you're feeding the National Post that's supposed to keep Canadians informed with the same talking points that the government that just gave you $1 million told you to give us.
Nothing to see there, Billy. You're one of those conspiracy nuts. I can see it. Well, what about the doctor that's running the World Health Organization? For one, Billy, I looked into him, of course, and we both have. And this guy was rammed in there by China. Well, China that all of a sudden brought us this virus, China that's bringing us 5G, China that's making our prescription drugs. These are our enemies, folks, not our friends. And we're turning this kind of power over to them. I mean, what does it take, Billy, for people to realize that we shouldn't be having anything to do with China, period? They have fentanyl. They are controlling our entertainment industry. They are into our society so deep right now. It's incredible. And people think this is all good.
What I don't understand is we even take the World Health Organization, China, and the United Nations opinion and their information over our own military intelligences. I don't know if you saw this happen on CBC where Rosie Barton cut away from Pierre Poilievre asking Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland some pretty tough questions, where they revealed that in mid-January, our military intelligence sent them a report telling us that it was person-to-person transmissible and that, oh my goodness, it may very well be worse than what we think.
Yep.
We ignored the intelligence report and allowed 2,000 people from Hubei province to come into Canada right after they received that report. So we ignored Canadian patriots and our own military that was telling our leaders to be careful, that we should probably be taking precautions. And our leaders, instead of listening to our own military, listened to the World Health Organization in China. And the guy that heads up the World Health Organization was once a member of an authoritarian government in Ethiopia.
Accused of genocide.
That's right. Accused of genocide and accused of crimes against humanity. And Jesse Waters exposed this guy, too, when he was with the Ethiopian government. Right. In one year, they racked up $200 million in travel expenses because they were renting the most expensive suites and the most expensive hotels everywhere they went. They were flying first class everywhere they went. They were eating at the most luxurious restaurants everywhere they went. And they had the top-notch limousines waiting for them in every country, in every place that they went to. So this guy here spent $200 million filling his fat face. And don't get me wrong, I'm not skinny. But he did this while people in Ethiopia were suffering. You know, he lied about Ebola when there was the Ebola outbreak down there. He covered up stats there as well. These guys organized Event 201 back in October. Fauci was there as well. So was Tam Tam, or Teresa Tam. She was at this Event 201. Yeah. CBC doesn't tell us about that, where basically what they did was they went through the same thing they did at 9-11. 9-11, NORAD was running an exercise that morning about planes flying into the World Trade Center towers.
Coincidence.
just coincidence. And then in October of 2019, you got the World Health Organization with the CDC, Canada's Health, Tam Tam, Teresa Tam, and banks and big corporations all having meetings in New York about the possibility of a coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, and I saw all those reports, Billy.
Miraculously, 2 months later, there's an outbreak in China.
Just imagine that. What a coincidence again, Billy.
I mean, it's a pure coincidence.
We're going to have to call these shows now Truth or Coincidences, I think. Because it really is. It gets a little bit too much. I mean, even me, just, you know, the old conspiracy type guy, I mean, I have a hard time believing some of these coincidences, but there's just too many of them to be a trick or not true. Let's put it that way. It blows me away what 9/11 is. Something I've studied for the last 7 years of my life. I probably put more time into studying that event and what happened that day, the stock pushes, what happened with the air traffic controllers, what happened with all aspects of that day, what happened in Shanksville, what happened in Pentagon, and the buildings in New York, all three that fell down. And to me, I go, society is still living with this lie, folks. And that to me is something I just can't understand, because I think if we took a poll of most people right now, Billy, that, and I asked them if they think there's, you know, there's something nefarious happened on that day, but and they don't believe the government's story, I think you'd get a good percentage of society saying, yeah, but why is it still going on? Why are these people still walking free? That's something we have to address. We do.
Yes.
Because that's going to be a scar. That's going to be a scar, folks, that will never, ever go away in our society. If we could call that out alone, it would be a major step forward. And the court proceedings you're talking about, Billy, are absolutely mind-boggling. It's a big step forward. What's going on in the legal system? People are not going to let this go away. Organizations like 9/11 Architects for Truth, the lawyers that have rallied around this and that are getting involved, donating their own time and money to bring this forward because they realize how important that is, that one day this has to be called out. I applaud those people because they're not going to let this rest. Well, so they should.
It's funny you mentioned Architects for 9/11 Truth. There's the Architects for 9/11 Truth. There's Firefighters for 9/11 Truth. There's First Responders for 9/11 Truth. Pilots for 9/11 Truth.
Yeah.
I mean, how far does it go? And what, all these people are wrong? Like, I have a pilot friend that says, there's no way any pilot could have pulled off what they pulled off on 9/11, especially the Pentagon.
Yeah.
They're like, there's no way. The fuel is stored in the wings, and the freaking thing made a square hole in the building.
Well, I know, Billy. If you look, it's a joke. What's going on in society that we can't see this? Well, I mean, it's the biggest joke I've ever seen. If you look at the picture of the Pentagon 4 minutes after the plane struck it, so you've got a 10-foot by, I think, a 10 by 14-foot hole in the side of the Pentagon. But where'd the wings go? Where'd the titanium? Where's the five-story-high tail, man? None of that shows on the building. Nothing. Right, and yet we're supposed to believe that a passenger plane hit that building? Did this happen to hit the records room that was looking after, or was looking into the how many billion dollars that were missing that were announced the day before 9/11? That's a quick too, Billy. Nothing to see there, man. Or the stock pushes? Nothing to see there. And what, World Trade Center? I mean, seven planes. Listen, Billy, buildings always fall down to fire. Steel frame buildings, they just don't stand up to fire at all. And that one was just a roaring fire, just right out of control. I mean, it's such a joke. Two little pockets of fire brought down a 47-story building that, what, was built to stand up to 200-mile-an-hour winds and probably five airplane strikes.
And even that
won't take down a steel building because all beams had to be compromised at the exact same time for that building to fall down the way it did.
Right, free fall speed.
Yeah, free fall speed. So what are your eyes telling you? What are your eyes seeing? I mean, what does it take, Billy? You look at the towers themselves. I'm not going to get into too much, but you look at the towers just themselves, and you look at the explosions that are coming down the side of those towers as those things are collapsing. They're very visible. The spiffs right from top to bottom are very, very visible.
Yeah, you can see the windows blowing out.
You can see the windows blowing out, and you can see the spiffs all the way down the side of the building as that collapses.
Yeah.
But what are your eyes seeing? You're seeing building being thrown out 600, 700, 800 feet. We're seeing cement being absolutely pulverized to dust. You know, one last thing, Billy. If those buildings actually collapsed the way they did, the pile of rubble would have been 30 stories high. 30 stories, estimated. And what did we have? 4 stories of rubble, folks. Where did the buildings go? Where did the buildings go, Billy?
It turned to dust.
They took them away overnight in trucks. We didn't see it.
It turned to dust.
It covered the whole lower mainland in dust.
I really believe that was their first big experiment with directed energy weapons.
I absolutely am going to agree with you, Billy, because there's nothing else outside of nuclear that could do that to powder, to powderize dust and steel. Steel
right.
We have videos of steel actually almost disappearing in front of your eyes, man. Some of the strongest steel ever made disappearing in front of your eyes. How does that happen, folks?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
You slow down the footage of the buildings collapsing, and you can see the I-beams literally dustifying. As they're falling, they're turning to dust. And it's beyond. There's a lady. I watched a lady. I forget what her name is. But Dr. she. Woods. Pardon?
Dr. Woods.
Yes, I do believe.
Yeah,
she gave the best explanation I've seen to it so far. Because like I say, some of the vehicles out there, the paint was stripped off them. They were stripped right down to the metal. The tires melted. It was just weird. And then right next to it, 5 feet away, a car untouched.
And a passport was found on the ground.
Right.
The terrorists.
Right.
from the airplane to the ground, didn't get touched.
Right. Man,
strong passports they're building these days, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That's fake.
We
could go on for hours, Billy. Really, I've looked at so much. But the more at this point, I've kind of stopped looking into it because there really isn't anything more that I could learn about that day that I really need to know. We know that it's the biggest lie in history and that it needs to be corrected at some point in the future. If we're really going to be a true society, that these wounds have to be healed. And until that one's healed, I don't know, buddy. I don't think we'll ever be free. But
we've got our own 9/11 to deal with right now.
Yeah, this is actually, to me, this is the biggest charade than 9/11 is, because this one is involving the whole world, and it's involving the complete lockdown of society. We're going to really see the effects on small business here in the next couple, 3 weeks. Right now, a lot of them are hanging in there, but if these small businesses continue to go without revenue, you're going to see a majority of them start to fold and collapse, and that's why they're dying.
The push for the New World Order, when you look at the plans that the United Nations has, it's basically they want the state to control
every
aspect of our lives.
Exactly.
And what I think we're seeing right now is you're seeing two factions on planet Earth. You've got one faction made up of the United States and other countries that want to maintain their sovereignty and maintain their system of governance, however it may be. And I think there you're looking at countries like Russia, the United States, Australia, the UK, possibly France, especially the people in those countries. And then you've got the other side of the coin. Like right now, when it comes to the whole narrative behind coronavirus, Canada is taking a position that is only shared with Iran, North Korea, China, and I forget what the other country is. Maybe Russia. Because Russia is kind of staying neutral. Russia is not saying anything either way. So Canada is the only country apart from North Korea and Iran, you could basically say, that hasn't condemned China for what's going on right now.
Do you mean Justin Trudeau, who loves China's dictatorship, his basic dictatorship, who has this tied in more to China than any other prime minister in our history?
Yeah, and whose brother writes propaganda on behalf of the Iranian regime.
Imagine that.
Don't forget, Iran is the country that John Kerry tried to run interference on when he was a non-elected official, and Trump warned him about it. And John Kerry was actually photographed meeting with Iranian officials. John Kerry is also the same guy that met with Justin Trudeau at the Aga Khan's private island at Christmas, I believe it was 2017 or 2000, yeah, 2000, Christmas 2016, right after Trump was elected.
When Trudeau was visiting his longtime family friend.
Right. The Aga Khan.
Hadn't seen in 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then you look now, what position are we taking when it comes to COVID-19? The same position that China and Iran are taking.
Well, we're narrating exactly what the World Health Organization is stating by Dr. Tedros, who hasn't got a degree in doctorate anywhere in the world, who was put in place by the Chinese Communist government. And all of a sudden, now we have this virus coming out of China, and we're following his directions to take care of it. I mean, what does it take for people to say, hey, something's really messed up there? That doesn't sound right. To even a common person, that shouldn't sound right. That's like the fox watching the hen house in steroids.
No, I agree.
It's so in our face, Billy.
Well, even the Conservative Party is reacting to it now. I hope their outrage is legitimate. I hope it's real.
Or are they just controlled opposition to make think that something actually is being done to stop this in our country?
Right.
I have big questions about that. I don't trust the Conservative Party as far as I can throw them, period.
Right.
Because I know what Andrew Scheer's position is on many things that has to do with United Nations agenda. He's made it quite clear. Anybody that has that kind of stand with the United Nations is not a friend to our country, Billy, at all, even though they're putting on a false flag. It's just controlled opposition to make us think that the government's doing something good on our behalf, that they're calling out some of this stuff.
And then
they're shaking hands behind the curtain.
You got to remember that Scheer as well was pretty much like a protege of Stephen Harper. Stephen Harper was at Bohemian Grove with Colin Powell because Colin Powell wrote to Peter McKay about his time at Bohemian Grove with Stephen Harper. So Stephen Harper is the one that signed us on to Agenda 2020 and Agenda 2030. Trudeau just continued it. Harper is the one that got us involved with the Organization for Islamic Cooperation. Harper also met with the Aga Khan. Jason Kenney kissed the Aga Khan's hand and bowed to him, for the love of God.
Yes, I saw that. That's great. Right. Yeah, there's a sovereign Canadian for you.
You know, so now when you look at the leadership of the Conservative Party, you've got Peter McKay, who Colin Powell trusted enough to send an email to tell him that he was at Bohemian Grove with Stephen Harper.
Well, you know, when we start to talk about Bohemian Grove to some people, they've never even heard of it, Billy. A lot of people aren't aware of the going-ons. And if it wasn't for Alex Jones exposing it, a lot of people still wouldn't know what's going on at those islands or at the Bohemian Grove when they do their little dances and their celebration of care and all the other stuff that they go through.
The cremation of care.
Cremation of care, that's what it's called. Yeah, when they dance around in their suits naked with dead animals on top of a pile of wood lit on fire. and a scene of the owl sitting on top.
Yeah.
Don't look into that. There's nothing to see there, folks.
Yeah.
It is so evil, and these are the leaders of our world. While you wonder why we are going in the direction that we're going right now, it's on steroids, Billy. Our Bible tells us all about this, Billy. It's going to ramp up in the end here, the things that are going to happen in our society, how people are going to turn on people, what we're going to see as far as wars and some of the other things that we're really starting to see ramp up, and the destruction of our environment and blah, blah, blah. It all coming through right now, and it's coming very quickly.
Well, I'm sure it's just coincidence. There was a point I wanted to make there, and then I lost my train of thought.
I do that all the time. I do. People get talking, Billy. You got a really good thought in your mind, and somebody starts talking, and you're listening to what they're saying, and all of a sudden it's gone. So we call them brain poops. We'll call them.
It's just that I don't know. It's like information warfare. I was hoping. Oh, this is what it was. I was hoping that we, you know, might get a reprieve and maybe expose some of the evil on Earth, so that maybe a harvest of souls could happen. You know, where maybe there'd be a revival and more people turn to Christ. But the more I see things unfolding, the more I wonder if we come out of this entire COVID-19 pandemic and we haven't heard of really high profile arrests, or if we haven't heard of really horrific crimes being exposed, such as 9/11 or child trafficking or treason or international cooperation to unseat the duly elected president. Like, if we don't see big things like that announced before this pandemic is over, and then we see the end of the pandemic and none of this has been exposed, well, then I firmly believe we're headed into what the Bible calls the tribulation.
I think I'd have to agree with you, Billy, that we're seeing that unfold right now. And, you know, this virus, all this was a chance for them to really test how the human race is going to respond and just how much the fear factor affects people and their ability to think. I don't know, if, like I've said many times, if this is the event that's really going to lock down society, or if this is just another test getting us ready for another pandemic that, you know, this one disappears and goes away, but all of a sudden, 6 months from now, another one appears that's even more deadly, that is really affecting people, and they bring up the same agenda, they lock us down again. People are going to accept it, and that's what I think is really at play here, that we're being conditioned.
Well,
I'm not sure if this is the big shillong yet, Billy, is all I'm saying. I think we could still be given a reprieve, but then they'll hit us full bore.
Right. Did you hear of what all the Hollywood celebrities and music celebrities did last night?
No, I didn't, but we only got a minute left, Billy, so quickly.
Well, it's just to touch on this One World and New World Order that we've been talking about for years. It was called One World Together at Home, and it was Lady Gaga who put it together. And we all know that Lady Gaga is directly associated to Marina Abramovich, who does the spirit cooking and other occult rituals. Mm-hmm. So just to say that, what they're doing right now is conditioning us for a new world order with a one world government of unelected officials that Justin Trudeau and the likes give power to rule over us. So on that note, we can finish there if you'd like.
Okay, Billy, I agree with you. And you know what? Always a pleasure having you in. That's our hour, unfortunately, went by. I know we could do another hour right now and still not touch on half the things that I'd like to talk to you about. But all that being said, I'm going to have to let you go. But thanks for joining me, folks. And follow Billy on Facebook and the internet. Follow his podcast. He's well worth your time. Thanks for joining
me. YouTube.com /C/ Billy Joyce.
There you go, folks. Okay, we're going to take a break here for 3 or 4 minutes. I'm going to go water the horse outside, and I'll be back with Doug Force. Hang around, guys, and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Billy Joyce for the hour. One of my favorite guys to talk with on the internet, and one of my other favorite guys to talk with on the internet is joining me for the second hour here. I've got Doug Force in. Doug has a website called The Mrs. Canada, and I've had Doug on before. I'm sure you guys have heard him talk before. I like getting guys on that are smart, and I consider Doug to be a pretty smart guy. kind of makes me, I don't have to quite talk as much and I get to listen a little bit. And I always manage to learn something, but I think, you know, we're all here for certain reasons. Some of us are really smart in some departments and some of us are really smart in other departments. When it comes to financial stuff and how it all works, I've said many times that's not my real protege. It's something I have a hard time wrapping my little brain around. Other subjects I love talking about, but Doug is one of these guys that kind of gets into the politics of economics and has a pretty good understanding about it and kind of what's going on right now. We'll talk about that, Doug, today. We'll talk about the insanity of what's going on in our country right now. And where do you think this is all going to go in the next little while here, Doug? Is the sanity going to be carried on? Are the people going to continue to take this? Are we going to stand up like we see people doing in the rest of the country, in the countries in the world right now, which is really, I've seen a few uprisings here in the last couple of days that are actually inspiring me, that people are actually getting out on the streets and standing up for their freedoms. We see this in, where do we see it? In Lansing. We've seen it in Boise, Idaho yesterday. We're starting to see other demonstrations to rise in the States. I think people are starting to realize that this is a pretty serious situation. We're in, a lot of things are at stake. Go ahead. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Well, thank you very much, Barry, for having me on yet again. I do appreciate that. And to be honest with you, I live in Toronto, Ontario.
Too bad.
The only uprising they'll have here is if the government says, okay, you can go back to work, and they're going to go, oh, no, we can't. No. We have this virus that's going on. We have to stay self-isolated. Because, I mean, it's funny. I go out for a walk every day, sunny, rain. It doesn't matter to me. I got to get out of the office. And these people, I was telling, I think I was telling you the other day, this woman walked right out in front of a 5-ton truck that hammered on the, almost, she almost died of COVID-19 via a truck bumper. I'm not kidding. The absolute ridiculous of the Kool-Aid drinkers, that get involved in this stuff, and you know they're walking around with their masks and their gloves and doing their social distancing and just pounding back the Kool-Aid as much as they can do and rat you out. They will rat you out. I walk in the middle of the sidewalk. I figured, you know, folks, if you want a social distance around me. It's your choice. I mean, that's your choice. Not mine, but it's yours. But you walk around me, I'm not going to walk around you.
It's a joke. Did we all of a sudden wake up in the Twilight Zone? Because for people, for me, these changes in society, Doug, I mean, even somebody that really, you know, hasn't really paid attention to some of the things that you mean have looked into over the years, that, you know, they know there's something a little nefarious going on in the government, but they still think that the government always has their best interest in mind. Even those people now have got to be asking themselves some questions, especially when Trudeau comes out and makes a statement like, nothing is going to go back to normal in this country, guys, until we get a vaccine. Are you serious?
And I could say that, yes, that outside of Toronto, that people will question the government. But inside Toronto, regrettably, the GTA and the people – I'm not talking all the people here, okay? There are some really strong people here in Toronto. But the average Joe that lives here in Toronto is a libtard. And there's nothing you can do about it. They've drank the Kool-Aid. They work either within the banking industry here, because it's the central hub of the banking industry for all of Canada, or they work for the government here. And so there's two types of people in the Toronto area. Yes, there are small businesses. Yes, there are, you know, dry cleaners and corner stores and clothing stores and malls and all this other stuff and Apple stores that people work at. But I'm talking about the high-end people, the people that make the big money, that can afford their $3,000 a month, one-bedroom, 650-square-foot apartment, because that's what you have here.
In Mount Pleasant.
Yeah. Mount Pleasant. Well, you're from Toronto originally.
I was born and raised in that city, and you know what, Doug? When I was raised in Toronto, I can honestly say it was a great place to live. I really enjoyed my childhood, because Toronto back then was a safe city. I didn't have to worry about somebody shanking me, which seems to be a major concern, or somebody shooting me, or some of the other things that we see going on in Toronto now, especially in the last 3, 4, 5 years. It just blows me away that it's turned into such a poop hole.
Well, and you know, I moved the wrong way. I came out of Vancouver, which was...
You did go the wrong way.
Well, but I mean, I grew up born and raised in the Vancouver area. I grew up on a pair of snow skis and a pair of water skis. When other kids were getting their 10-speed bikes, I got a boat. I lived on the water. I had a great childhood. I look back on that now and I think, God Almighty, how wonderful is that?
Yeah.
The politics in Vancouver are the politics of Toronto. They're pretty much identical, and it saddens me because I was visiting Vancouver a few years ago now, and we went out for business lunch. So we thought we'd take a walk in Stanley Park because it's a nice big business lunch, and have a Cuban cigar. So we get into Stanley Park, we get out of the SUV that we're traveling in, and I clip the end off the cigar, and these two men in a Miata said, "Oh, you can't smoke that here." And I looked over at him, I went, "Yeah, sure." And the guy goes, no, it's illegal to smoke in the parks here in Vancouver. And I said, "Get out of here." Two cops on mountain bikes pull up right then and there. And they said, "Sir, you best not light that. Otherwise, I'm going to have to write you a ticket for $650. And I went, "Wait a minute. We're outside in the middle of nowhere, and I want to light a cigar." Well, and the cop says to me, "Well, you know, the city hall, the Vancouver City Hall, passed an ordinance that you cannot smoke within a city park."
That's to keep you safe.
And I said, "So if I go outside the park, right beside the park, smoke on the sidewalk, that's legal?" He says, "Absolutely, I won't write you a ticket." He says, "Get out of here! How stupid is that?" And he looked at me and he laughed. He says, "Just as stupid as you think it is."
Well, when you think about it, Doug, everything they do is just, even though they call it to keep us safe, that's in our best interest. It's just another exercise in conditioning the public to take whatever they give us. You know, they are spoon-feeding us the Kool-Aid, and a lot of society is drinking it. A lot of society is giving them the Vaseline.
Well, and there's a gentleman that I like. His name is Christopher James. He has a website called A Warrior Calls. He has a YouTube channel.
I love that guy, man.
But he says to me, this is what he says: when you have people infringing upon your unalienable rights, he asks them a very simple question: "Am I under contract with you? Do you own me?" And he says every time the answer is, "Of course we don't." "Am I under contract with you?" "Well, of course not." "Do you own my body?" "No, I don't." "Well, then, excuse my language, pee off."
Exactly.
And this is the problem, is that people have forgotten that we have a little thing called unalienable rights. And these rights are endowed to us by our Creator. And yes, there are Christians, there are Muslims, there are Jewish, there are Hindu, there are Sikh, there are all these different religions. But they all have one thing in common. We all believe there is a Creator. And we all believe that Creator has endowed us with our unalienable rights. And I don't use the word God because that would then box me up, but I use the word Creator, and that way I can cover the spectrum. The beautiful part of what Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, which I believe everybody should have a copy of the Declaration of Independence in their home, on their wall, no matter where you are in the world, and in every language it should be written, and read this every morning when you get up. And every night when you go to bed. And then if your government isn't within the confines of that, then you need to change it, ladies and gentlemen, you do. And we have a problem here in Canada today where they believe that they own us. Not the land under our feet, they believe they own that. Not the house we live in, but they believe they own that. Not the car we drive, but they believe they own that. But they also believe they own the body that we occupy. And you watch and see what's coming with these vaccines.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's real scary.
But I also know that that's going to be a line in the ground that a lot of people are going to draw. And I know that we have to at this point draw a line in the sand. If we don't stand up to this now, Doug, then the sky is the limit. And anytime I talk to people now, I try to make them understand that this isn't just business as usual, government going on doing what they're doing. This is a completely different set of rules that are being brought in Most people don't see it. They don't understand the implications. I think the best thing we can do right now is just try to explain to people what the consequences of us not paying attention to this, to letting this go the way it's going right now. I look at the consequences down the road, and I'll tell you, buddy, I got children, and I think about this. I think about it every day, and it drives me insane. It's what motivates me, myself, to get involved and try and make a difference. I think if everybody understood what was coming, Doug, it would motivate them the same way. So I think the best thing we can try and do right now is just educate them and try and make them understand that this is a serious, serious issue that we're dealing with.
I completely agree with you. And a lot of the problems that we have right now with trying to educate people, I went for my coffee today, and I go to the coffee shop, and the guys are there, and they're open, but it's, you know, just for coffee. You got to come in, pick it up, and leave. There was another gentleman there with me today, and we were talking about this. And funny thing was, he was a medical practitioner. I don't want to give exactly what he was. He wasn't a doctor, but he worked within the medical field. And I says to him, I says, you know that coronavirus is nothing more than a common cold. He goes, yeah, I know. He says, it's in the medical books. And I says, well, then you know that COVID-19 is a fiction. They made that up. And he goes, yeah. But you know what? He says, do you know what the real name of it is? And I said, well, the real name is SARS-CoV-2. And he goes, that's right. And I says, that's a fiction. And he goes, what do you mean? I says, well, it takes 18 months in a class 4 lab to figure out what – you have to have at least 1,000 specimens of blood specimens to actually figure out what virus is in there. And in order to do that, you have to have 18 months before you would even come up with that name. And he goes, no, you're right. Oh, God, I never thought of that. And I says, well, there you go. So what is COVID-19? He says, well, it would be a fraud, a fiction. Doesn't exist. I says, so what are they testing for? Well, he says, they're testing for coronavirus. I said, would you test positive if you were tested? He says, anybody who's had the common cold would test positive. So you're talking about the entire population of Canada would test positive? Yeah, probably. And yeah, I started to laugh.
Yeah, I saw the same reports, Doug. I mean, we're talking wide, broad band of people that would test positive for this. And, of course, anybody that's dying now, if they test positive for that in any shape or form, it's immediately labeled as coronavirus 19. So our numbers just keep going up, and they get to push the agenda a little bit more. Well, they've got all angles. They've got all angles of this figured out, Doug. They're pretty smart guys.
Well, no, actually, they're not. They're not that smart at all. I've met a few
criminal genius.
Okay, and you know, you call it criminal genius. Have you ever met a criminal? Go to the jails. You want to see the criminal geniuses? They sit in a jail cell. Why? Because they might have got away with a little bit of crime for a little while, but they get caught, and then they go back, and they've got a recidivism rate of 80%. They're not geniuses. Okay. No criminal is a genius.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're trying to say.
They're genius people with very, very evil intentions.
And
I'll praise that.
Here's the wonderful thing. When they say, well, you've got to get this, you've got to be vaccinated for this COVID-19 or COVID-20, whatever they come up with this vaccine. The only thing you have to ask them for is, well, I need to be tested before you can vaccinate. What do you mean? I've never been tested for coronavirus. You need to test me. And if I test positive for coronavirus, then I don't need the vaccine. Well, guess what? If you've had the common cold, you'll test positive for coronavirus. So
we're going to have to come up with some mechanism of pushback against.
That's the pushback.
Yeah.
You want to give me a vaccine? I need to be tested before you can give me the vaccine. I'll make an appointment with my doctor. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. And if I test positive, I'll give you a thank you very much, but I don't need the vaccine because I've already got the antibodies. And I guarantee you 100%, my friend, that almost – I would think every single person in Canada would test positive. If you've had a cold in your life, you have had the sniffles and a cold, and you've had bed rest and chicken soup and ginger ale, you'll test positive for coronavirus.
Well, I don't think there's anybody in society that hasn't had that at one point in their life, Doug.
Exactly. Why do you think they're not doing mass testing? Because they know if they mass tested, everybody here in society here in Toronto, everybody would test positive, and that would put a wrench into their way of pushing the new vaccine on you.
Exactly. We have that many tests that are positive, then we should be seeing the responding kind of numbers in people that have recovered and the people that are dying. And I've kind of looked at their numbers, what they're putting out for numbers on this whole thing right now, Doug. And it's there's a lot of watching going on there. We talk to people in the hospitals in Toronto. I know that you've had this experience already in Toronto, but I've talked to other people that are going in London, Ontario, and all over Ontario. And they're going into hospitals, and they're actually having conversations with medical professionals that are telling us a completely different story than the government's telling us. So who's telling the truth, Doug?
Well, I mean, how do you tell when the government's lying to you?
When they open their mouths.
Their lips are moving.
Yeah, their lips are moving. They start talking. I wish we could install lie collars on every politician so that when they do tell a lie, it should be mandatory. We're paying these guys, what, $160,000, $170,000 a year? They're living like kings. They fly around on airplanes, first class this, first class that, and we're struggling to make ends meet. And all they do is feed us lies. I have never met a politician that is any different. They're all playing the game, and they're all having their back pockets full. And I say to these guys, one day it's going to come back and bite you on the butt. Just like I should have started the show today, Doug, and I usually do, saying hello to the people that are listening in on our conversations, from Facebook police to whoever else might be listening in that think we're of any kind of notoriety. That, you know, really, guys, the one thing I like to point out to you spies and people that are working for the other guys is that, you know, you're only one rung up the ladder from me and Doug. That when this thing goes down and society goes upside down, you are going to be just as disposable as me or anybody else that's speaking against this government, but you're just up the ladder a couple rungs from us, but you don't have a ticket to the big party. So maybe you should listen to some of the things we're saying today and take it to heart. I always like to say them to Doug, because we've got to welcome to the show because we know they're listening.
Well,
welcome, guys.
And here's the funny thing. You're right. They're what they call, and Trotsky and Lenin had this wonderful name for them. They were called useful idiots. And when the useful idiots did their job and they got the rest of the population to conform, and they thought they had their seat at the table, they were brought into a room. And they were, you know, there was a couple of people in the room, and they were going, well, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And they walked them out the side door, only to have the last thing they saw was a big ditch full of dead bodies, two shots in the back of their head, and they became what they also called useless eaters. And that's what those people are. You and I, we're going to wind up in what they call a re-education camp.
Doug, I'm going to have to push back against that, because when that day comes, buddy, I have other plans for the way that I plan on leaving this world, and it's not going to be an education camp. Okay?
No, but I'm just saying.
I know, that's what they'll take us if we allow them, but I'm not going to allow that.
I'm of the Patrick Henry, you know, the last line in his speech, give me liberty or give me death.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to go out on my knees, buddy. I'm not. I've already said that to myself many times. I don't believe that my creator wants me to go out on my knees, that my family's threatened or my friends are threatened, and this is what's happening. We all have to take appropriate measures, whatever we figure that is at that particular point. And I believe that day might just come. It's something I'm preparing myself for.
I hope John F. Kennedy said that if you can't have a peaceful revolution, you will definitely have a bloody one. And I hope it doesn't come to that. The myth is, Canada, we preach the pen is mightier than the sword.
It has to be at this point, Doug.
That we need to do this without violence, and we embrace all when we do this. It doesn't matter that you work for the de facto government. You still have a seat at the table. You still have a voice. It doesn't matter that you work for the various policy enforcement official corporate entities, like the court systems, because we don't have courts here in Canada. We have administrative offices for the corporation. If you go on to Dun and Bradstreet and look up all the provincial courts here in Canada, including the federal courts here in Canada, they're all listed on Dun and Bradstreet, and they all have gosh almighty, my brain is just, sometimes it just fails me as I'm getting older. Credit rating. They all have credit rating. So why would a court of law have a credit rating? Well, it's not a court of law. It's an administrative office. There is no judges. They're all administrators. There are no prosecutors. They're just administrators. And they're administrating that to get money out of you. That's what they're there for. If you look up the definition of attorney, it means to take the person or its property unto the state. Ooh, goody, goody. How wonderful. I should hire an attorney to go into administrative office so they can empty my wallet. But even here in Canada – If you murder somebody, the extraction that they're looking for is $4.7 million.
Mm.
Yeah, put your head around that one. Mm. So it's not about justice. It's not about, because there is no justice, administrative offices. And the police officers, they want you to believe are peace officers, are actually policy enforcement officials for the corporation and here in Toronto for the city of Toronto, because it's also on Dun & Bradstreet and it also has a credit rating. So at the end of the day, when we look at what we're living in, I always say everybody that is part of the problem is also going to be part of the solution. And we have to include all. We can't exclude people in what we're doing with the Myth is Canada. It includes everybody. Now, those people may come to the table later than the other people, but they're still going to come to the table and there still will be a seat there for them because their voice is part of all voices. And we can't, and I'm just not going to exclude anybody. It would be horrific because then we start to draw lines in the sand and then the swords start coming out, and that's not what this is about. This is about fixing the problem for everybody, including those that don't know.
Well, one thing that we can't do, folks, is we cannot go into an armed confrontation with the government. A lot of people figure that we're just going to pick up arms, walk down to Ottawa, and take over the government. Well, that is not going to happen in this country when that does happen. I've said this many times on my shows, and something that we touched on, believe it or not, earlier when we talked about the towers and directed energy weapons. And I agree with what Doug said about directed energy at that point, that would be a way of explaining what happened that day. But if we look at technology now, this was 2001. We are now in 2020. How much has their technology advanced? The one thing that, Doug, we're really going to have to watch out for is deceptions that are going to be played on people via hologram technology. Because some of the stuff they have now, guys, would absolutely blow your mind. We don't know how far advanced they are because we are not allowed to be privy to that. But we've said many times, Doug, that their technology is 10 to 15 years ahead of what we know about. So if we think about that, think about directed energy, think about all the other little tools they have and toys in their toy box. I think if we go to an armed confrontation, we're going to be quashed. And I think that's where they want us to go, because it would fall right into their ability to bring the hammer down on the human race. Go ahead.
Well, and I'm glad you brought this
up. My thoughts. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I was hoping we would get into this, because you and I talked about this a little bit the other day. I found an article from 2013. The headline of the article, it says, "Wave Goodbye to Climate Change, GMOs and Pesticides." And then the sub headline says, "Radio wave treated water could change agriculture as we know it. It's Irish pioneers, Tom Panderville, groundbreaking new Irish technology, which could be the greatest breakthrough in agriculture since the plow, is set to change the face of modern farming forever." Mm-hmm. "Extensively tested in Ireland and several other countries, the inexpensive water treatment technology is now being rolled out across the world. The technology makes GM obsolete and also addresses the global warming fraud that is too much carbon dioxide in the air by simply converting excess carbon dioxide into edible plant mass." So, and it's a very good article. It goes on for several pages and it talks about the technology and so forth and the treatment of H2O. And I thought, wow, isn't that fantastic? Now, that's a seven-year-old article, so I did a little more research, and I tried to find out where it is today. It's nowhere.
Disappeared.
It's been quashed.
Yeah.
It's been bought up by the eugenicists, because they don't want to feed the world. They want to starve us to death. And if you look at what good old Climate Barbie is doing out in Ottawa, and then Trudeau said, oh, we're going to do a 50% increase in carbon taxes. So Climate Barbie last November or so imposed a 25% carbon tax on all farming in the Western provinces and Ontario, et cetera, et cetera. 25%, okay? And then Trudeau says, no, we're going to up that to 37.5%. That's a 50% increase. Well, the initial amount of family farms went out of business because of it. They went bankrupt. But there wasn't enough for them, because the eugenics program needs starvation. Don't forget that the lady who's behind all of this, her name is Krista Friedland. She's a Malthusian, and a Rhodes Scholar, and her parents and her grandparents were part of the Holodomor that was created in the Ukraine that starved 5 million farmers off the land.
Unbelievable, some of her background, Doug. People had no idea.
And she is now the Prime Minister of Canada. I watched a funny video the other day. Somebody sent me a link and said, watch this. And there was a backbencher who stood up and asked her direct question, yes or no, direct question. And five times she stood up and answered it never answered it. She just went on about this, blah, 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 blah. And he stood back up and he says, but this is a yes or no question. Please, blah, blah, blah. And again, for five times, finally, he just got fed up and he asked her another question. And she went and repeated exactly what she said the last five times on the sixth time. And
then They're professionals at that.
That was the end of the video.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. These people aren't – I can't understand why we would even consider them part of the human race. These are sociopaths, psychopaths who want to see us dead so that they can have the power over a small amount of slaves that they can control. That's what eugenics is all about. The Fabian Society from Victorian England started it. What was his name? Robert Malthus or Robert John Malthus, hence the Malthusians, came about that. They're collectivists. Then in the 1930s, the Communist Party in Germany decided to split in two. One went to in one direction where the proletariats rise up and take over the government. And the other one went into the culture, and they were called cultural Marxists. Today, we know them as the politically correct.
Well,
and that's thinking.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at history and look at Germany just prior to the Second World War, you'll see an exact duplication of what's happening in our society right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Germany, Hitler turned his children against their parents.
Yeah.
He did that very effectively. He also completely took over all media in Germany by 1935.
Yeah.
I think it was 1935. Hitler controlled all media and all journalism in Germany. So there was no alternative story to anything going on. Of course, we know where it went from then. Well, the same thing's happening right now in our world. We're going down the same agenda. Why are we doing that? Because it worked then and it's going to work again now.
Well, and it only worked.
It's called the Communist Manifesto, and I've read it.
Well, that's Karl Marx from the 1800s, but
But it still gives you a guideline for what they're doing right now.
Well, and Hitler had a different guideline. Mein Kampf was his guideline. I read Mein Kampf when I was in high school all the time. It's an interesting read for taking over a society. I recommend it. And read Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. It's also a good read. There is a difference because the brown shirts hated the communists and the communists hated the brown shirts.
Right.
Because the brown shirts were national socialists, whereas the communists were not.
Right.
The communists wanted absolute control, where the national socialists wanted to share the control with the corporate, which is why we have a corporateocracy today. It's also called fascism. But the communists, when they split, the Frankfurt School took on the communist, the cultural Marxists. And when it started to get bad over in Germany, the Rockefeller Foundation reached out and took all of those communists from the universities over there at the Frankfurt School and brought them to Columbia University here in North America, which was their toehold into the university systems throughout North America today, which is why we have such horrible university problems today with the professors and so forth teaching this stuff about divide and conquer. It's, the LGBTQ, the social justice warriors, the feminism, white supremacy, where whites are bad, browns are good, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about divide and conquer. It's not about everybody has a seat at the table and everybody has a voice. No, we have a voice, but you don't. And that's if you go onto these campuses these days, it's really horrible, the agendas that they're teaching the children. I don't know whether you remember Peterson, Professor
Jordan Peterson?
Jordan Peterson, a professor here.
I listen to every video he puts out, and he really nails it, Doug.
He's an amazing, amazing observer of human nature.
Very smart man.
And he articulates it well.
Yes, he does.
And it's a sad state of affairs where we are today, regrettably, with this stuff. And this is why it's so simple for the government to come along and say, oh, you need to self-isolate. Oh, by the way, we're gonna hand out chains, and you're going to chain yourself to your bed in your home. And you can't go out. And if your neighbors go out, you're going to have to rat them out. And and it's all because of this. The thin end of the wedge came in the 1930s into the universities at Columbia University, and then it spread like wildfire throughout the 1960s and 70s. And today, this is what we have. This is the result. We have the soy boys, the social justice warriors. Oh, you triggered me. Oh, I'm so upset. How in the hell can I fix, excuse my language, how in the heck can I get in and make you angry? That's your emotion. How can I make you sad? How can I trigger you? Those are your chemicals in your body. It's your body. I don't own your body. It's your choice. But that's not what they're taught. They're taught that all outside influences them. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's completely turned upside down in the last 30 years. But then you look at the agenda and what the end game is, and everything that is involved in the end game is what we're seeing going on. I mean, these guys, when you think about it, Doug, how many different angles have they attacked the human race with in the last, 30, 40 years? Where we went from, even when I was a kid, we were fairly strong still as a society. I remember growing up having a great deal of respect. It was taught to me to respect my elders. And I grew up respecting my elders. But we don't see that in society anymore. We don't see any social interaction in society anymore, that young people are controlled and live with their phones in their hand. You go to a party and there's 20 young people in the room at a party, and how are they talking to themselves? On their phones. It's true. They're all sitting around the room texting each other, and yet they're across the room. Well, when you and me went to parties when we were kids, Doug, we were in everybody's face, and we wanted to know what was going on.
Absolutely.
But that's no good anymore. Men can't be men anymore. You got to be little girls. Let's teach our children that they can be a tree, or they can be a rock. That they can be a boy. A boy can be a girl. It doesn't matter. There's nothing to actual physical science anymore. That's all crap. That's old stuff. We got to get rid of that. The insanity of what's going on in our schools. Well, we know where it's coming from, Doug. It's all rooted from something called evil. That's meant to destroy our family unit, because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing our families fall apart and, of course, undermine everything that's moralistic in society without a religious outlook on that particular statement. What we see now is society at the absolute bottom of moral depravity, that anything goes, that nothing is important anymore, that we glamorize murder, we glamorize sex, we glamorize violence in games that children are allowed to play with when they're 6 and 7 years old. And we wonder why their minds are formulating the way they are, what they're actually seeing as, even though it's a game, what they're seeing as a perspective in life. And then we wonder why we're having so many problems now. It's coming at them from all kinds of different angles, man. They're being poisoned through vaccines. They're being poisoned in their food. They're being poisoned in how they're being indoctrinated in school. Their minds are just absolutely scrambled. Throw a few drugs in there. Throw a little Prozac. Throw a little bit of Ritalin in there. I mean, how many children are on Ritalin right now in the United States, Doug? I just looked at that number. 6 million children right now as we talk.
6 million
on Ritalin in the United States of America. Well, Doug, you know what? I was back to Ontario here about 15 years ago. And back then there was a video or a cassette series going on from a doctor about the effects on Ritalin, and how it affects. This was back before CDs and even, this was about 15 years ago.
I used to have a cassette player in my car.
Yeah, cassette. Well, how long ago was that, Doug? But anyways, I was listening to this. This guy was making points like that. And this is a fact, because he referenced all the information that he got his points from. But he stated back then that if a child is on Ritalin for more than 2 years of their life, they're not allowed entry into the United States military. Well, why would that be?
Brains.
Why after altered. 2 years? Well, every child that goes on Ritalin, Doug, if you look at the numbers, those children end up being drug addicts for life. That big pharma's got them for the rest of their life. They usually end up on antidepressants. I have a family member that is experiencing the same thing right now. That my niece is a basket case, but she did the Ritalin for 9 years. But anyways, one day there was a little blue pill sitting on the table, and I wanted to find out what kind of effect this had on the on your body, Doug. So I took one, and I couldn't believe it, buddy. And earlier in my life, I'm not proud of some of the things I did, but I did play around with cocaine at one point in my life when I was young. And I remember what that did to me. And I took this little blue pill, and about a half an hour later, man, I like bouncing off the walls. And you want to put, I mean, I wanted to go outside and play, and I wanted to go for a 10-mile run because I was just exploding. And you're going to put this into the developing mind of a small child. When their minds were developed, Ritalin. But now they got a new one out that's not supposed to be quite as bad, so we should feel a little bit better about that. But you see the effects of this. These children all end up on antidepressants, some kind of psychotropic. Big Pharma's got them for life, and they love it, man. They'll milk them until they're dead. And it is so sad to see this going on in our society. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. With Ritalin is methamphetamine.
That's I know what it is. I know. I know, man.
It's supposed to be a mild version. But it's not. I had a friend years ago who was hooked on Ritalin because it is methamphetamine, and it alters your brain chemistry. That's why meth heads, when they quit meth, will never quit meth. Their brain chemistry is permanently altered. I was going to say that there's a really cool YouTube channel called Cringe Panda. Now, Cringe Panda is a girl from high school girl who talks about the LGBTQ community coming in drag and teaching elementary school kids. Now, she was part of the elementary school when this was going on, and she had done a couple of her videos, but when she went into grade 8, she's like 14 years old. Boy, oh boy, does she ever not cut to the, you know, does she ever not beat around the bush? She comes right to it, and they banned her videos from being showed to children on YouTube. Get that. Here's this 14-year-old girl exposing this cultural Marxism about teaching children, kindergarten kids, about their own sexuality when they haven't even crossed into puberty. And she's exposing this. And it's called Cringe Panda for you people listening. Google Cringe Panda, or go onto YouTube and type in Cringe Panda. She has three videos that are well worth watching. They're not long. They're 15 minutes each. But boy, does she come to the point with this stuff.
Yeah, well, they're really, really coming at us hard because some of the things going on in British Columbia right now where, you know, a father cannot defend his daughter at this point in society. We're criminalized for defending our rights and our ability to influence our children is being taken away from us by the state. This SOGI program, folks, I mean, if you haven't looked into SOGI 123, I'd recommend that you do because it's absolute evil, what is being taught to our children. Laura Lynn Thompson is one lady here in Canada that has done quite a few videos and actually has been in court and is being persecuted for her stance against this right now, Doug, but I applaud her for her courage. We need people to stand up against this crap.
Well, and they believe that somehow they own your body and that they own your children. Because the problem is, and as Christopher James has pointed out, you registered your kids with the state when you put them up for a birth certificate.
Yep.
And that's the problem, is that you've participated and you've consented to their jurisdiction. And the only way that they can come at you is through your consent. They can't come at you without your consent. And so I've said this to people many, many times. Just please stop consenting. At the end of the day, they will proceed against you. And if they proceed against you against your will, but via not your consent, they have to use a gun. They have to pull the gun out and then put you under duress in order for you to consent. At the end of the day, you now have the right to walk away. If they shoot you, and in the U.S., I would hesitate walking away. Here in Canada, I would walk away. I'd turn my back and walk away. But in the U.S., I wouldn't because they just shoot you in the back. Sadly, it's gotten that bad down there. Police officers now in the U.S., all they have to do is say, well, he scared me and I shot him. And that was that. It's over.
Yeah, I know. It's gotten pretty bad down there. I've been looking at some of the things going on down there, and the police state is really rearing up its ugly head. But we see the same thing happening in Canada here, Doug. Well, in Canada, we're such incredible powers now to the police forces. The judge, jury, the judge, jury, and executioner.
And the problem we have here in Canada is that we are too soft. We consent. In the U.S., they stand up for their rights and they get shot in the head for doing it. Sadly.
At least they're standing up.
But yeah, but here in Canada, they comply. They just, we give up and we go, okay. And that's that. And then I could see people getting these vaccines. I could see this happening and I could see them lining up. And I could see them lining up with 6 foot intervals, social distance.
I'm going to put on a full hazmat suit. I'm going to go get an oxygen tank and maybe put on my dive tank and a regulator and a mask and a couple other things and some gloves. And I'm going to go into the grocery store tomorrow and maybe get somebody to take a video of it and see how people react. I mean, this is the killer pandemic, guys. It's killing people by the thousands. It's everywhere. So I think we better start taking a little bit more stringent protection of ourselves. What do you think, Doug? Think I might make the local newspaper?
I think you will. You might even make the national news.
I think I'd get it videoed and put it on YouTube because that's how crazy this whole situation is. Yeah, we got people that I'm walking down the street and there's 5 feet between us and they'll step another foot out of the way.
Are you guys, you know what?
We've got 28 cases now in the north from Quesnel, British Columbia, all the way up to Fort St. John, including Prince George, all the way over to the coast here, Kitimat, Prince Rupert, all the way down the line, Smithers, all those towns. We have a total population of about 175,000 people, and we've got 28 confirmed cases right now. No new cases in the last 4 days, and one confirmed death. And all of society up here is shut down, locked up in your homes. What's wrong with that picture, folks? Did we do that? Did we do that for the flu? The flu is killing 10 times as many people as this coronavirus is.
Well, the coronavirus,
but we don't hear a word about it.
Doesn't actually. The coronavirus doesn't actually kill you. It's just, you know, it's like they said. The NIH in England. Okay, they actually said that anybody who passes, who dies within their hospital, who gets rushed into emergency, will on their death certificate will say COVID-19. So you just come out of a traffic accident. You got crushed between a van and a car. They put you on a stretcher. They pronounce you dead in their hospital, and they go, "Oh, he died of COVID-19."
Because they're told to do so, Doug.
I know, but how?
How do you get the public to believe something like that?
How silly! These are medical practitioners. How the heck?
And they're going along with this.
Exactly.
Well, aren't these the doctors? Aren't they supposed to be a sworn hypocrite to provide us with the best possible care and to fully inform us about anything that might be negative in the going ons around us? I mean, I thought that was their sacred oath. But doctors now are the biggest hypocrites in the world. If they're going along with this program, they're your enemy. They're not your friend.
Well, and this is the problem. When the government pays the doctors, in other words, if the doctor decides to tell the truth and the government says, "Well, you told the truth, we're cutting you out of the system," they take away the food off their table and a way to feed their kids and so forth. So they're being threatened with being basically disbarred from the system,
right?
Or tell the lies. Tell them what we tell you to tell you. And that's the problem we have with the de facto government and socialized medicine. This whole thing of socialized medicine run by the government and the taxpayers' money is not the way to do socialized medicine. As a matter of fact, we talk about this when we're talking about what would go into a constitution that would create that, and you create what we call trusts, and these would be run by public yourselves, the people. The people would be elected as trustees on these trusts, and that's how you would set up your socialized medicine. And if you want to have an education system, it would be done through trust. And how would the trust be funded? Will be funded through the resources that belong to we the people in the first place.
Yeah.
And an allocation would go into those trusts for these kind of social benefits that we would have for society. And that it wouldn't be in the government's hands. As a matter of fact, the government would have, if the government tried to touch them, you could put a clause in the Constitution that if the government exceeded the Constitution and tried to enter these trusts and take money from them, that those politicians would immediately go to the gallows.
Exactly. And would stop a lot of this, wouldn't it?
Oh, baby.
We're only the richest country in the world, resource-based country in the world. And we got citizens in Canada that are struggling to get by.
The government's
got billions of dollars for Yemen. And what did they just give yesterday? $41 million to China to fight air pollution. Isn't that great?
Yeah, but we have also homelessness here. People living on the streets.
There shouldn't be a Canadian living on the streets right now. Not one.
There are 37 million people. We have literally quadrillions of fiat dollars worth of in-ground assets, oil and natural gas, just the field, Hibernia Field, okay, off of Newfoundland, the Hibernia Field. That's sweet crude coming out of there. That's not sour crude. That's sweet crude. And that field is larger than the whole Middle East.
Yeah.
So think of that.
Well, same thing with the oil sands in Alberta, man. There's so much there that hasn't even been touched yet. Because of the economics right now, they haven't gone after it. But it's there.
There's technology out. And a little company called General Electric, back in the 1980s, had a guy working for them that actually patented a process of taking 100% recovery of oil out of the oil sands. 100%. Not 20% that they do today, but 100% recovery and no pollution. What you got was pure sand and clean water. That was the end process and crude oil. Now, that patent was when General Electric decided to sell off all of its patents, was sold for $1 to ExxonMobil.
Really?
And it was buried.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
And so, funny enough, so Exxon buries this patent, and somebody in Exxon decided that there was a bunch of crap that needed to be got rid of, that they were holding and they shouldn't be holding, and they needed to clean up, and they wound up dumping that patent back on the market. And a friend of mine bought it for $10,000. So it's back here.
Where's the patent now?
It's here in Canada.
And why isn't he using this patent?
Well, because of what's going on in the world today, if this patent was ever instituted into the tar sands here in Canada, we would be able to serve the entire planet in oil for the next 200 years. In other words, it would bankrupt everybody except the patent holders of this.
That sounds like a pretty good idea, but then we know the ripple down effect worldwide would be devastating. So,
yes.
Yeah, obviously, because if you bankrupt all the situation right now, if it was all taken away and we had the only oil that was going to be used, it would cause financial havoc around the world. And I know that.
Yes. And, you know, you gotta love what Putin did the other day back in when the OPEC Plus said the Saudis says, oh, well, you know, we got to help the Americans with the price of oil, and we need to cut back our production. And so we need to maintain a $65 a barrel oil. We need to get it up there. And Mr. Putin said to the Saudis, he says, well, you're working with the Americans. So if I do this, if Russia does cut back on production, will the Americans remove our sanctions? And the Saudi says, well, no, they're actually thinking about adding more sanctions. So that's when Mr. Putin said, no, we're not going to roll back production.
Enough of that crap.
And that's why we have $20 a barrel oil today.
Yeah, well, Trudeau loves Saudi oil, man. I mean, stops the pipelines. We can't use our own oil, which would be completely self-sufficient. We've got to put tens of billions of dollars into the Saudi economy every year because that's just the way it is. I mean, none of that makes any sense. Just like Trudeau giving a $40 billion steel contract to the Chinese for the liquefied natural gas program, the biggest project in Canada right now, to the Chinese, when that would have created about $100 billion in Canadian economy, factored in the spinoffs of the $40 billion being spent on the pipes. People don't know that. This is what Trudeau has done for China. He is treasonous, folks, and I can't say it any stronger. Trudeau is a treasonous bastard. So
here's the thing. He's not treasonous because he doesn't represent us. If he represented us, the sovereign people, on the landmass known as Canada, yes, he would be treasonous. But he doesn't represent us. He makes his oath to the Queen, a foreign monarch. That's who he represents. What we need to do, and I'm going to take this right back because we're almost at the top of the hour here,
to the
myth is Canada. The myth is Canada is all about ceding a de jure government in each and every province, taking back which is ours. We were given this opportunity in 1931. We are the sovereigns, not them. We own the land. We own what's under the land. We own what's on top of the land. It's ours. All we have to do is exercise the right that we were given in 1931, which is to create a de jure government in each province through a constitutional convention, through elected delegates, and then a constitution being created and ratified by we the people in each of the provinces.
Imagine that, giving people real power, something that that none of us have really experienced in our lifetime under the current situation. And I look at it, Doug, and I kind of watch what you guys are doing. I find there's so many different things that I have been paying my attention to lately that maybe I don't give this quite enough attention, but maybe I'll try and do that here going forward. A lot of what you're talking about makes absolute sense to me. Thanks for coming in today, Doug. You know, and at the last second here, if there's something you want to share as a last thought, I am going to close the show in a couple minutes here.
I have one more thing. We're going to start doing Zoom calls where we're going to be teaching a little bit of history, a little bit what is a constitutional convention and how to elect delegates, and what is a constitution and how does one create one. So we're going to do these Zoom calls up to 100 people by RVSP. John, Catherine, and Brenda will be taking care of that. We'll be doing a bigger announcement on this. Then we're going to have 8 modules that they've created, and we're going to do those as one-hour teaching videos so that people can come and learn exactly how a constitutional architecture is created, what kind of jurisdictions of law would you put into a constitution. Another module will be what goes into a constitution. What forms of government go into a constitution? How do you structure that government within a constitution? How do you hold a constitutional convention? And how do you elect delegates to represent you at these constitutional conventions? So they've been working for 4 weeks now creating these modules. We're going to do them as teaching, one-hour teaching modules. But we're going to do the Zoom calls, and that's the primer. You get involved with the Zoom call, you sign up. Then you can go to the modules. We'll give you access codes for all the modules, and you'll go and you can learn. This is all about teaching we the people what we should have done in the past, and we get the tools. And the only way you get the tools is through education. And we're about to supply you with the tools.
Well, thanks for coming in, Doug, today. I really appreciate it, and always enjoy your talks. And you know, we'll do this again in the near future here. And I'm going to try and look at this a little bit more. I'll say that today. I'll try and look at this a little bit more going forward, because we do have some big problems, and they don't seem to be going away, and they're not going to go away unless we make a change. So thanks for coming in and sharing your thoughts. I'm going to close the show today, guys, with my thoughts for 10 people that were shot in Nova Scotia here yesterday. That's a tragedy by anybody's standards. Also, an RCMP officer was shot yesterday in Canada by a lunatic. And my thoughts go to those people. Sad day for a lot of people today. Thanks for coming in this week, folks. And I've really enjoyed my conversations with Billy and Doug. I hope we all left here today learning a little bit and maybe taking a little bit of inspiration about some of the things we've said. I always want to thank Steve Roberts for producing my show and putting up with me. And thanks again, folks. We're going to be back next week, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week, and God bless you all. Bye for now.